Chapter 19. The guys were all over me at lunch the next day. "Did you bring it?" asked Pete, sliding onto the bench beside me. "To school?" "Well, when are we going to get it, then?" Pete lowered his voice. "We need it tonight." Just then, Valerie slid in beside me. "Need what?" she asked. "A focused hockey team," answered Ryan from across the table. He threw me a meaningful look before heading off to buy a chocolate milk. "I can hardly wait," said Valerie. "You're coming?" I asked, leaning closer to her. "Are you kidding? We all are. Wouldn't miss it for anything." Theo grinned. "Oh, great, our own cheering section. Will you be in your uniforms or kimonos?" Valerie stuck out her tongue at him. I laughed, glad of her company and the opportunity it presented to avoid the subject of the stuff once again. I even managed to sneak away early after school when my science teacher dismissed us with 5 minutes to go, but I knew that the moment of truth would come soon. I delayed as long as possible getting ready for the game, but Lise finally pushed me out the door and into the car. "Come on," she said, "just get it over with." "You're going to tell them tonight before the game, aren't you?" asked Ryan as I waited for him to get his shoes on. "Guess so." What choice did I have? Ryan slung his hockey bag over his shoulder, then reached for another blue sports bag. "What's that?" I asked as we headed out the door. "Just some stuff." We joined Dad and Lise in the car. "Are you folks coming tonight?" Dad asked Ryan. "Dad went to pick Mom up. They'll probably be a little late." We were a little late as well, but Knowles hadn't put in an appearance yet. I could see the questions in the guy's eyes as soon as I walked in. "All right," I said, putting up one hand. "I know what you're going to ask, and there's something I have to tell you." I took a deep breath and glanced over my shoulder at the door. "There's no more stuff." The guys erupted. "Oh, man, how could you do this now, Switzen? This is our big game." "The game of the season, and we're going to have to go without it," groaned Justin. "We're going to get smoked." Ryan put two fingers to his mouth and let out a shrill whistle. "We are not." He stared hard around the room. "We don't need the stuff to play great hockey."
"Like you can talk," said Justin. "It hasn't hurt your game, has it?" Ryan grabbed the blue bag and hauled it out from under the bench. His face was dark and determined. As he bent to unzip it, Taryn and Karen burst through the doors with the rest of the synchronized skating team behind them.
"Okay, I know we're not supposed to be in here, but we figured maybe you guys could use these," began Karen. She held up a box of red garters. "There are good luck garters, and we wore them at provincials this year, and, well, we won."
The sight of the girl squished tightly in the doorway, holding up a box of garters, was too much for us. Neil started to laugh, and soon we were all roaring. Red got a garter and put it on his head like a headband. Jordy wore his over his eyes and made some comment about not having seen the puck, and Tony wrapped his around his biceps twice, like he was in mourning. Despite the comments, each of us took one and managed to work it into our uniforms. After all, hockey players are highly superstitious. The girls were just clearing out when Knowles walked in with Phil Kiefler and another short, wiry man.
"Okay," began Knowles dubiously, as the last of the girls exited and we tried to hide the bright red silk garters.
"All of you boys know Phil Kiefler." We murmured our hellos and tried not to stare at the box in Phil's hands. "Mr. Kiefler has a generous gift for the team." Knowles left with the short, wiry man while Phil stepped forward. "Once, many years ago, I played in a world hockey tournament against the Russians," he began. "I was lucky to have a chance to get to know one of the best players the game of hockey has ever seen. Some of you may remember Sergei Makarov." We breathed in unison. He had been hailed as one of hockey's all-time greats before he'd been killed in a car accident in the prime of his life. Everyone knew of Sergei Makarov. "Well, the season before he was killed, he visited me when he was playing here in Canada. Just showed up one night at my home, carrying this box." Phil opened the box carefully and pulled out a bronze falcon, its talons extended, its beak open. Inside were two of these birds. Sergi's father had made them as good luck talismans. He paused, remembering, while we sat silent. "He gave them to me that night. He said that I reminded him of a falcon on the ice, smooth, fast, and always watching for an opportunity." Phil stroked the bronze bird's shimmering tail feathers. "He said they would bring me luck, that his father would make him another good luck talisman. They did bring me luck over the years." We sat, staring at the falcon, the ripples of its feathers, the slightly open beak, the glint of his eye.
"I've kept one as a keepsake, but I want you boys to have the other one. After that game on the weekend, well, I know how much this game today means to you, and I thought you could use a little luck. You're a real decent bunch of kids." He handed the falcon to Ryan, who cupped it in his hands. "Give it a rub before you go out on the ice. It worked for me." We murmured our thanks in whispers, completely awed by the gift in Ryan's hands. Phil Kiefler cleared his throat and continued. "And boys, if you ever want to play good hockey, today's a good day to do it. The little guy that was just here with me, that's Tom Dreyfus. He
He's a scout for one of the junior teams. I know that's a ways off, but a little recognition now could go a long way in the future. He left, leaving us in silence. I guess you know what's on the line, said Knowles as he wrapped up his pregame speech. You boys have a chance to score big today, real big. He glanced around the room. So let's get out there and show them how to play hockey. Ryan placed the Falcon on the blue sports bag in the middle of the room. Yeah, he breathed. Let's play hockey. One by one, the guys filed past the Falcon, stroking its powerful back and wings. Finally, only Ryan and I remained. I cupped the bird with my hands, feeling its strength and speed surge through me. Then I handed it to Ryan, who held it tightly, his eyes closed. He placed it gently back on the bag and followed me out the door. My skates hit the ice surface in the midst of a wild cheer from the stands. The girls were on their feet, screaming. Phil Kiefler and the scout sat in the next section, examining some papers. Hey, Switzen, called Knowles as I skated by. Where's your visor? My hand went instinctively to my face, only to realize that I'd forgotten my visor. I raced back to the dressing room, grabbed my visor, and was about to leave when I saw the bronze falcon. As I picked it up, its talon caught the zipper and pulled the bag open slightly. Inside were dozens of clear packages containing a fine white powder. I put the falcon down and drew the zipper all the way back. Ryan's sinus minus, his entire stash. None of it had been touched. I'd known Ryan hadn't taken it since his injury, but I hadn't known he'd gone all season without it. I zipped the sports bag and threw it under a bench. Then I raced back down the corridor and out onto the ice. I took a couple of hard laps, then lined up beside Ryan on the blue line. You never took it, did you? I asked as Dave teed up the puck and let a shot go. Ryan looked up in surprise. Just that first time at Pete's house. He stopped the puck on his stick. I couldn't, Joel, not after everything. He let a hard shot rip and found the five hole. After that night at Pete's, well, it scared the hell out of me knowing how easy it had been. And you brought it tonight so the guys would know that you'd played all season without it, that you didn't need it. And neither did they, concluded Ryan. I caught a pass and let a good shot go into the upper corner. How come you never said anything about me giving it to the guys at the beginning? I asked, joining Ryan at the end of the line. I knew you'd sort things out, he grinned, his trademark grin. But it sure took you long enough. The whistle blew as Ryan's words hit me. He hadn't given up on me, just like he hadn't given up on his mom. Lots of other guys would have, but he believed that I'd find a way to set everything right. And I had. I glanced towards Phil Kiefler and the scout as Ryan skated towards the bench. If I had anything to do with anything today, Ryan would be talking to that scout after the game. Ryan stared hard at Keller across the face-off circle. He'd only played a few games since his rib injury, and I knew from the look in Keller's eyes that the Cadillacs thought he had a weakness. But there was nothing weak about his face-off skills or his moves. Near the end of our shift, the two defensemen moved in to sandwich him, but Ryan cut hard to the left, then the right. The defensemen collided as he deftly swept around them, banging the shot into the upper right corner of the net. I gave him a high five on the bench. Nice move. Ryan grinned. I've got a few more that I'm dying to show them. I'd never seen him skate so well or outmaneuver so many players in my life. By the end of the first period, he'd managed five shots on goal, and Horvath was sweating. However, despite our efforts and a power play opportunity, we were only up by one when we skated to the dressing room. Knowles was cautiously optimistic. You guys are looking great out there. Davis, that's the fanciest bit of skating I've seen for a while. Must have been that synchronized skating you did. The guys laughed. Nevertheless, these are the Cadillacs, and they're not about to concede the game after one period. Remember, don't take any unnecessary penalties. We don't want to make it easy for them. The guys nodded and guzzled fluids. They're going to be looking to slow the game down and give themselves time to set up. Keep it quick and watch for the open man. They'll be all over Davis this next period, so you forwards will get some more opportunities. Use them. Somebody knocked on the door. We pulled our helmets back on. I glanced up at Tom Dreyfus in the stands and then across at Ryan. Coach Knowles had been right. The Cadillacs were hitting, playing the man instead of the puck. I got nailed near the Cadillacs' blue line and looked up dazed. Ryan had the puck behind the net. He skirted it along the boards to Theo, who fired from the point. The rebound deflected off a skate. Somehow Ryan managed to come up with the puck and passed it back as Smithers checked him. Adrian fed it to me and I skated hard, sidestepping a check and laying it on to Justin's stick. His quick wrist shot turned the light on. 2-0 Falcons. We crowded around the bench, congratulating Justin until the ref blew the whistle and the play resumed. The Cadillacs were shuffling their lines and Knowles was changing on the fly, trying to match them. One of their defensemen got a good shot away from the point. Jordy handled it easily, dropping it around the back of the goal for Neil. but the red jerseys were right on top of him. Neil tried to pass to Pete, but Keller intercepted it just outside the slot, and Jordy didn't have a chance. The scoreboard read 2-1 Falcons. "Don't worry about it, boys," advised Knowles. "It looks like they've decided to play hockey, and that's what we're here to do." The play raced from end to end. "We changed lines frequently, trying to keep the legs out on the ice fresh. The Cadillacs were playing it tight, making it hard to freewheel." Scott lost the puck in the neutral zone, swung off the check, and tripped the winger with his stick. The ref whistled it down, and the Cadillacs went on the power play. Keller won the draw and set up on the blue line. Alex intercepted a pass and popped the puck back into the neutral zone, but then the Cadillacs just regrouped and came at them again. This time they went in on a 3-on-2. Alex and Tony did their best, but Smithers tucked it underneath Jordy's pads, and suddenly the game was tied 2-2. "We need one," murmured Ryan, circling me before moving into the face-off circle. "Soon." He won the draw, raised the puck, and put a sensational move on his man before charging for the goal. Horvath was screaming at his own players to clear the shot, and they did, forcing Ryan to drop the puck back to Justin and skate towards the boards. Justin sent it back to Ryan just as Renegade pummeled him. Ryan went down hard on top of the puck. The referee signaled for a penalty. While Keller argued with the ref, I skated over to help Ryan up. He pushed himself to his feet and winced. "Your ribs?" I asked anxiously. "No, my funny bone." I laughed with relief. Neil, Dave, and Pete went out for the power play and managed a few shots, but nothing with any intensity. With 12 seconds left, our line went back out against Keller's. Ryan took the faceoff in the Cadillac zone, won the draw, spun around, and shot. I sat dumbfounded as the light came on, almost as dumbfounded as Horvath. "Is that a Phil Kiefler trick, too?" I asked, pounding his helmet as the period ended in a 3-2 score. "You can't play defensive hockey," Coach Knowles told us in the dressing room. "There's still a full 20 minutes left. You've got to stay on the attack. One goal could turn this game around." Keller was shadowing Ryan, trying to help him out of the play. He'd done it in previous games, but this time Ryan was shaking him off with some fancy footwork. Alone in the Cadillac zone with the defenseman, he looked around. I crossed the blue line, banging my stick to let him know I was there. He stopped on a dime, made a blind pass, and I blasted a shot at the goalie. Horvath went down on the first save, and Ryan popped the rebound for a high goal. The guys mobbed him, congratulating him on his hat trick. 17 minutes remained, and we had a 2-goal lead. The Cadillacs called a timeout, and we used it to catch our breath. "Don't sit back," advised Knowles. "This is a big game, and they're going to use every trick in the book to get back in it." Knowles was right, and not all those tricks were on the up and up. The elbows were being used more than ever, and the sticks were being carried higher than usual. Jared took a knee in the groin and limped to the bench. Neil went out in his place and immediately got flattened at center ice by Renegade. The crowd screamed, but he'd been checked behind the play and the referee hadn't noticed. I could see Neil looking for Renegade. They went around behind the Cadillac's goal together, and again Renegade hit him hard, jamming his helmet into his back. Neil turned around, his stick in two hands, and charged. It was exactly what the Cadillacs had hoped for, a retaliation penalty. Ryan and I went out to kill the penalty. Ryan raised the puck and iced it, but Horvath came way out of his net and sent it back into the neutral zone. The Cadillacs pressed hard, but we succeeded in getting a whistle in our end with only 20 seconds remaining in the penalty. Scott lost the draw, and Keller put on a burst of speed. He skated hard for the net, faked a slap shot, and left it for Smithers, who blasted it past Jordy. The red light flashed, and suddenly it was a 4-3 hockey game. "Whatever you do, don't retaliate," screamed Knowles. "We're still up by one. They're looking to use that power play." Knowles was right. It was obvious from the first faceoff when the center stepped straight into Ryan without even making a move for the puck. Ryan spun away, and the Cadillac scrambled to set something up in our zone. I stole the puck, took an elbow in the chin and another in the ribs before laying a pass onto Ryan's stick just as Renegade moved in. Ryan cut hard, changing direction. Renegade fell. His stick caught Ryan's skates and sent him smashing to the ice on top of the puck. The ref gave Renegade the benefit of the doubt, and nothing Neil could say would make him change his mind. "Where'd he learn to referee?" demanded Scott. "At the Cadillac School of Refereeing?" The guys were pretty riled, and the Cadillacs knew it. I saw O'Neill skate by Scott and whisper something to him. Scott's head jerked up, and fire flashed from his eyes. The Cadillacs won the face-off and went on the attack. Our guys dropped back to defend the net. Bodies collided in the slot, and suddenly fists were flying and helmets were bouncing across the ice. Knowles jumped onto the boards and ordered us to remain seated. Out on the ice, blue and red sweaters rolled up about as the black and white jerseys charged in. Eventually, everyone was separated and all the gloves and sticks picked up. We huddled around the bench and waited. The ref was at the box assessing penalties. We'd both lost two players to game misconducts, and we were a man short. 1:50 showed on the clock. Coach Knowles rallied us for the final shorthanded shift. They'll probably pull their goalie as soon as the play moves into our end, so be prepared. Now's not the time to lose a faceoff, Davis. Then skate with the puck. Don't be afraid to ice it, but make sure you get it out. Ryan won the faceoff and circled around the neutral zone as their goalie, Horvath, skated off to the bench. There were 6 Cadillacs to our 4, and they came at us hard. I tried to ice the puck, but it hit a stick, bounced into our zone, and the Cadillacs set up. Theo and Adrian stood their ground while the Cadillacs managed 1, 2, 3 shots on Jordy. Ryan stole the rebound, pulled the puck in close to his body, and wove through the red jerseys, spinning off a check and breaking clear, puck intact to the center ice area. The noise in the arena was deafening as Ryan turned on the wheels, outskating the winger who was racing from the opposite side and letting a wrist shot go into the empty net. 24 seconds remained on the clock. On the bench, I pounded Ryan's back as Red's line went out for the final shift. Even Knowles jumped out and hugged Ryan, then me, then Ryan again. The buzzer sounded and the roof lifted off the arena. Only then did I remember that the girls were all there cheering us on. We hoisted Ryan onto our shoulders and took a victory lap. It took quite a while to get the guys calmed down enough to shake hands. I helped Ryan collect his equipment that was strewn about the ice surface. "Mom's here," said Ryan as we passed the stands. We skated towards the gate. Coach Knowles was standing there with Phil Kiefler. With them was Tom Dreyfus, staring at Ryan. Who could turn their back on a performance like the one Ryan had given today? "Switzen, Davis," called Coach Knowles as we reached the gate. "Come here, boys." We stepped onto the black rubber where Phil Kiefler stood with Tom Dreyfus. My heart thumped loudly as Tom extended his hand to Ryan. "I'm Tom Dreyfus. You played a first-rate game today." Ryan shook the hand. I fought the urge to scream with happiness for Ryan, for his brilliant play today, for his mom, for the chance to make his dream a reality. "I was hoping you might be able to join me for dinner tonight, along with your folks. I think we've got a few things to discuss." I slapped Ryan on the back, and he found his voice. "I'll have to check with my parents," he said quickly. "They're right here, in the arena." He moved forward, his eyes gleaming as Phil Kiefler stepped down to embrace him. I watched them, wanting to shout in elation. Coach Knowles nudged me, and I reined my emotions in. Tom Dreyfus was staring expectantly at me. "Pardon me?" I muttered, feeling that I had missed something. Coach Knowles chuckled. "Do you think that would be possible, Joel?" asked Tom again. I stared blankly at him. "Dinner tonight with your folks to discuss things?" I nodded, my eyes widening, my lips moving, but no sound coming out. "All right," screamed Ryan, suddenly leaping past Tom Dreyfus, wrapping me in a huge bear hug and knocking me off my feet. The men laughed. "I'll ask your parents to come down," Coach Knowles told us. Ryan pulled me to my feet. "Can you believe it?" he whispered, suddenly overcome by emotion. I grasped the shoulders of my best friend. "Ryan," I began, trying to find the right words. "Thanks for, well, thanks." Ryan grinned his trademark grin. I must admit, I was beginning to wonder. He pulled me down the corridor. "What was it, anyway?" I smirked at him. "You don't want to know." "Sure I do." At the end of the corridor, I could see Coach Knowles talking to Lee's dad and Mr. and Mrs. Davis. I snapped my fingers and chanted, "Stuffed up and sneezy? The solution's easy. Doesn't matter if you're young or old." Ryan joined in for the last 9. "Just mix up sinus minus and throw away your shyness for a healthy sinus minus the cold."